The North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net, will not be heard at this time, so we can bring you a CLW 83 Network special presentation. In the endless reaches of the WWE Universe, there once existed a planet known as Poopton, a planet whose surface was more orange than the face of Brother Love. Their civilization was written and predetermined well in advance, and it brought forth a mold of man whose mental and physical powers were developed by WWE Creative to mimic the abilities of all of Marvel's Avengers rolled into one. But there came a day when the stench of F5 gas threatened to destroy Poopton.
Forever!
One of the planet's head writers, believed not to be Michael Hayes, sensing the approach of doom, placed his infant son in a small rocket ship and sent it hurtling in the direction of Earth, just as Poopton exploded. The rocket ship sped through star-studded space, landing safely in West Newbury, Massachusetts, with its precious burden, Poopton's sole survivor.
Dun-dun-dun!
A passing limousine found the uninjured child and took it to nearby Stamford, Connecticut. As the years went by and the child grew into maturity, he found himself possessed of amazing physical powers. Faster than a Tensai Tyson Kid match. More powerful than a midget with a GM laptop. Able to sell a rainbow of garden gnomes in one single night, the boy from Poopton has become the man without zeal.
Super!
Admit that I am the best in the world.
I can't say that.
Falco!
But yes, will the power of Punktonite keep John Cena away from the WWE title? That's a question for another show. Yes, I am back at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have the round table of the usual suspects, starting with Mr. Ethan Muslin.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's see. We also have our old-school wrestling fan, Mr. Brian Henniger.
I don't know if I can live in a world where Super Cena got beaten by CM Punk.
Stick around.
Oh, hi,
like... Stick around. You'll like the place. And a man who had to bribe his way back onto my program, the man who sits upon the Big Apple, that would be Jason Block.
You did get the check, right?
Not yet. Are you sure you sent it?
I sent you the picture.
You sent me a picture, but the check is in the mail. I've heard that one before.
Look, trust me on this. You'll get it, and we will be settled. I've paid my fine. I've done my time. Let's get to the wrestling.
Yes, let's get to the wrestling.
But Jason, just one thing I should point out, and I know this, Nikki, from personal experience. You're not officially out of the doghouse until it actually clears.
Trust me, it will. And as you said, Heyman's know about non-clearing checks.
Don't go there.
I'm not. Sorry.
Now, I apologize for being on vacation last week, but it was a much-needed one. I did make it back in time for SummerSlam. I was not there. But my dear Uncle Paul had taken care of business and made sure that Brock Lesnar took the fighting spirit out of the evil Dr. Levesque. Let's see. But he wasn't the only one that was injured that fateful night. We unfortunately had a little mishap with Rey Mysterio during his match with Miz. Now, did anybody else see this pay-per-view?
No,
I saw it after the fact.
Okay.
I was on a plane flight back, so no.
Okay. Now, Brian, do you recall the match, the Miz and Mysterio match at all?
I don't recall it as much, but I do. I did see the incident, and he got clocked.
The spot in particular, for anybody who wants to look up this match, was from a slingshot powerbomb that the Miz performed, where he bounces Ray off the top rope, swings around, and slams him in the center of the ring. You see his head snap. You see things stop for a couple of minutes, and there's some really interesting camera close-ups so that referee Jack Doan, I believe, was refereeing this match, could check on Mysterio, and if a ref sex was necessary, could be sent without the home audience knowing. I unfortunately don't have anybody who was at the show who could confirm that for me. But Ray's concussion has taken him off the road for a week or two, just to make sure everything's okay upstairs.
Now, who do you quote unquote blame for this?
This is a tough call, because Ray had enough time to brace, and Miz had proper leverage to bring him around. Maybe Miz brought him down too fast. Maybe Ray just didn't time it correctly and his head snapped back. So this could go either way. Originally, I wanted to blame Miz, but just to be sure, I rewatched the match tonight after I finished watching SmackDown. And like I said, you see his head bounce off the mat. You see a tight shot on Miz. You see the action stop for about 30 seconds or so while Ray is sitting on the mat. Doan's checking on him. Miz is selling tired just so that they can buy a few seconds to let Ray shake off some cobwebs and finish the match.
Was the match, I have to ask, did they go through a full match or was it ended quickly?
No, they actually continued the match because I believe the concussion diagnosis didn't come out till after the show or even the following day. There was some talk that some things did get cut short Sunday night, and also a stupid, slightly newsy rumor of audience plants to dance for Kevin Rudolph.
I'm getting sick of this when they're doing the musical number in the middle of the show. Come on, we're here to watch wrestling.
My only complaint is the fact that WWE does not know how to mic a band.
Amen.
They couldn't mic Union Underground. They couldn't mic Fozzy. They couldn't mic CeeLo. They couldn't mic Rudolph.
They can't even mic Motorhead properly.
Thank you. It's just, I don't understand what the difficulty is. Is it just because they have to finagle something different so it doesn't interfere with the house mics?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's like when I saw Motorhead at WrestleMania 17, I'll never forget watching it. It was like Lemmy was having a hard time, you know, hearing the monitor. Because he was having a hard time keeping up with the music. Same thing happened again a few years later at WrestleMania 19. He was going, "Time to play the game."
And my only live experience is John Cena at Battle of the Bands, and it was all right, but it just, you know, WWE really needs to work on that, because they pride themselves in their production values, but they just don't know how to mic a band.
And you would think that's kind of arena audio 101.
Well, the trick is that it also depends on how they have the arena mic'd otherwise, because there's some mic work being done to pick up crowd reactions. There's a mic under the ring. I know they don't keep the wireless mics live. You have the headset mics, which also can be muted during the numbers, since the commentators aren't going to say anything.
You've got the speakers on the Tron too.
Right. So there must be a feedback issue that I can't think of, and it's been so long since I've done production.
I could possibly think of. It's got to be a feedback issue. If they do it properly, there probably is a feedback problem.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say this much about it, about the ring, about the microphone under the ring, sometimes it can go overboard. I don't know if you remember, but back in the early days of ECW, they were still experimenting in the old arena how to properly mic the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one night there was an event I watched. I want to say it was like one of the heat waves where they had turned the mic on too high. So every move was like wham, bam.
And here's the problem I'm having. Like, for example, I just picked up, excuse me, ECW Unreleased Volume 1. Mm. And I'm watching it on Blu-ray. And back then, everything is hard to hear. Everything is hard to hear. I don't understand what it is with speech in an arena and music. I don't get it.
I think it's the fact that you're talking about the original ECW, which was working with subpar equipment to begin with, admitted. Plus, the acoustics in the ECW arena royally suck.
Yes, I've been there. Oh my God, man!
I got God love that place. I miss the place. I was there for Hardcore War, and you really had to listen when you had somebody on the mic. So, no, trust me, that is not, that's something you just can't fix in post. It just doesn't work. Getting back to SummerSlam real quick, though, and I apologize. I did not get to Statboy in time to get the Pick'ems back, so I cannot award the Fizzleweight title, but I can humbly admit that it will not be me.
Nor I.
As I abstained from the Pick'ems because I wasn't even sure I was going to get to see the show. I had a very gracious stewardess at the Indianapolis airport who was able to sneak me on an earlier flight. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten home until 10 p.m. Central, which meant the pay-per-view would already be in rerun. So,
you see, folks, this is the kind of connections you have when you are a Heyman.
Exactly. Well, no, trust me, they realized who I was when I was heading out. They saw that I had volunteered to be moved to a different flight. I insisted a single stipulation. I still had to be in Indianapolis that day. They paid me with a travel voucher. They bought me lunch. They put me in first class.
Really?
But the smartasses made me land in Indianapolis at 11:55 p.m.
Ugh.
Son of a bitch.
Smartasses.
Well, let me ask you this. So since we're talking about this, what is it like, behind the curtain? What's it like?
You mean in first class?
Yes, I've never been in first class. I've heard tell of I have heard tell of the wonderment behind the curtain.
Ah, yes. Chairs that actually fit normal human beings. Leg
no.
room. Oh, yeah. Leg room for somebody over 5'9".
Ooh.
No.
Real food.
Oh. Wow.
Food service even before the flight takes off.
Nice.
And a complimentary pillow and blanket if you choose to sleep during your trip.
Awesome. You know what that reminds me of? Did you ever see that Garfield TV special, Garfield in Paradise?
It's been a long time.
Well, they're flying out to this place called Paradise World, and they're there because Johnson and Chiefs, they had to fly third class.
Ah, I remember the comics for this.
And they're walking back.
Hardtack swill, yummy.
And they're walking back, and John says to Garfield, how come I can't get it? Garfield, why can't I ever get any respect around here? And then Garfield says, when you travel, you must pay for respect, my friend.
Hey, Shmay, they rolled up a red and blue carpet for me.
Nice.
So I apologize that I do not have the Pick'ems in front of me, but I thought the show was very well done. We had surprises such as Jericho over Ziggler. I'm going to touch on that further as we talk about Raw. Daniel Bryan succeeding over Kane, which led to the murder of Josh Matthews. Let's see. What else? As hinted in the intro, thank you, Jim Williams. CM Punk over John Cena, to which the internet rejoiced.
Yay.
Yes. But you must speak of your client.
Ah, yes.
Fighting the evil Dr. Doofenshmirtz. Wait, I mean Levesque.
Oh, wait.
What?
You gotta play it.
Now, yeah, you're right. I do have to play it. Let me. Doofen. Shoot, I've lost the button. Oh.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated. I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. There's your double shot right there.
Unfortunately, it seems that my client, Brock Lesnar, beat the asshole out of the asshole.
Yes, he did.
And rebroke his arm. And since that was well taken care of, Brock has every right to declare himself the new King of Kings and has conquered the man who supposedly had buried the rest of the WWE. You should hail him as a savior. But right now, he doesn't want to wrestle. So there.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he's going to take off for a little bit. This is part of, I believe, the 30 dates through the year sort of deal. He's going to hang out for a little while and deal with Sable and his kids and then come back, probably, I would guess, around Survivor Series, right?
I would expect him to.
Excuse me.
And my dear Uncle Paul did mention that he is on a per appearance deal, so I'm guessing that at least there'll be some more airtime regarding the multiple lawsuits. Ethan, you had something to say?
No, I'm figuring he'll be back around Survivor Series as well.
Now here's the question here. Do we get a rematch at the Survivor Series, or do we wait till WrestleMania? Is Triple H quote-unquote done, or do you think he gets the special attraction Undertaker deal?
That's what I think. I'm thinking they will progress this to where it's Lesnar-Undertaker at 29.
I don't think Taker wants to fight Lesnar.
Oh, he does, but not the way they wanted to fight him.
No. I do recall that confrontation, and I have a feeling if they're going to do Lesnar-Taker, they might do that at a non-Mania pay-per-view, because I know my client, he will want to succeed. And Vince, 67 years young.
Today, in fact.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who has also sworn that he will never retire, will probably never acquiesce to letting a part-timer like Brock Lesnar defeat The Undertaker. So we'll just have to shoot on The Undertaker. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Ooh, okay.
So, so SummerSlam happens mostly without a hitch, which is more than I can say for Dana White.
Excuse me, there's a sound effect. Do you have that one, please?
Oh, I does.
Please. Yes.
Yes. Okay, here's the deal, ladies and germs. UFC 151 was supposed to happen, I believe, next weekend. And the main event was supposed to be Dan Henderson versus John Bones Jones for the light heavyweight title. John Bones Jones being the drunk driver who has a worldwide deal with Nike, and CM Punk are not going to exchange Christmas cards, to say the least. Dan Henderson blows out his MCL.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, Dana White says, you know what? Chael Sonnen, CM Punk's buddy, you're going to take Henderson's place, and John Bones Jones, you're going to fight him in 8 days. John Bones Jones says, bullshit, I'm not fighting him. So Dana White, because the undercard was so crappy, decided to cancel the entire event. In the first the first time in UFC history. Okay? That is just... wow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That just screams of epic failure of epic failureness.
Allow me.
So, this is not good for UFC.
Absolutely not. This is a huge black eye. Nobody's coming out of this one clean. This is costing Dana White crazy money because he's not going to be able to put the event out, which means he's going to be shelling out refunds left and right to those who were planning on attending or ordering it on pay-per-view. Given that he gets $50 a shot for the pay-per-view and tickets to these events start at $75 and probably ringside running in the 250s.
Probably more.
If not more, is a stern right cross to the wallet.
We're talking $1 million refund. Probably two.
Probably. So, Ethan, imagine, if you will, Vince McMahon prank calling Dana White on this.
Okay.
Hey. Can I be Dana White?
Yes, let's do this. Okay. Ethan, you're Vince. Call Dana White. Give him shit. All right.
Yeah, what?
Oh, hey, Dana White, this is Vince McMahon.
Oh, hey, Vince, what's up? How's Brock going for you?
Oh, he's doing good. At least he can fight.
Oh, shit! Wow! Wow!
Yes!
Wow.
Well, you know something?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Sorry.
But seriously though, Vince has had so many different fail. But
no, fucking luck, but yeah, fail.
Yeah. But seriously though, Vince McMahon, if for some reason, okay, John Cena says, I'm not fighting let's give him a mid-card contender or somebody like that.
David Otunga.
Right. I'm not fighting him on Raw tonight. Screw this. Okay? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Vince goes, okay, Punk, you want to fight him? Sure!
So, yeah.
Do I get paid double? Do I get to wear the blazer? I mean, seriously.
So, yeah, to Dana White, I'm sorry, but this is all wrong.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
But you know something? There's a phrase from the Bible that I'm reminded of here. What is it? Thou shalt reap what thy sow. Dana White has been such an asshole his entire career and built his reputation on being the biggest asshole to run a major sports organization. Eventually, it was going to bite him in the ass, and this is that moment.
I don't think it was him, per se.
My money for this one is on Chael Sonnen, because I'm sorry, 8 days, if he was already prepping for another match on the card, you can't tell me in the course of that 8 days, you can't watch all the film, work out, and get yourself psyched up to keep food on your table.
You're thinking John Bones Jones, not Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is the replacement. Chael Sonnen wanted to fight him. Chael Sonnen accepted. He wanted to go. John said, no, we're not doing this. Idiot.
He's like, screw this.
Yeah, and to this, Bones.
You fool!
unbelievable.
Just ridiculous levels of fail. Vince has never had to cancel a pay-per-view, no matter how big of an asshole he is. He didn't cancel. He didn't stop Over the Edge 99. He didn't cancel December to Disaster 2006. We would have forgiven him. And
was it 1995 pay-per-views? Oh, sorry.
Oh, hi.
Not to mention the pay-per-view that got the power went out because the storm knocked over the transponder.
That's right, yes.
Yes. In Your House, Beware of Dog.
That is correct, yes.
Which is now famous for them giving the... which is now famous for them, giving the matches away for free on Raw the next night.
Mm-hmm. No. I think they redid the pay-per-view two nights later in the exact same way. They redid them.
That's right. And what was so funny was one of the matches was the Caribbean strap match between He Who Shall Not Be Named and Savio Vega.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes that He Who Shall Not Be Named said, "We did that match for like a week, just three or four times," and he strapped the hell out of me. So I said to him, "You know what? I hope the hell the pay-per-view holds up this time, because I ain't doing this match again."
And speaking of who shall not be named, Vince didn't cancel Vengeance 07 because somebody couldn't show up.
No.
Or when they had that weird staff outbreak in one of the pay-per-views, which cost us one half of the
Great American Bash 06.
Yes, when everyone had there. Elevated liver enzymes.
Which cost us Bobby Lashley, the Great Khali, and somebody else.
I think it was Batista.
No, because I think Batista killed Kennedy at that show.
Okay.
But why exactly? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the Punjabi prison match, this was the inaugural, was supposed to be, I think, Khali and The Undertaker?
Yes.
And it turned to Undertaker and Big Show, which was a much better match.
Yeah.
And now, lastly, I think it just kicked off the show. Sorry, Brian.
No, I'm just curious, you know, because I wish I knew, why exactly did, what was exactly the reason why they had to cancel because of elevated liver enzymes? I don't understand why that was such a big deal.
I forget exactly what it was tied to, because we were all scratching our heads too. Let me see. Great American Bash 2006.
Because I've heard two different stories. I've heard one say that it was due to, because that's a sign of a staph infection. I've heard one say it's a sign of doing steroids.
Yes, that's what I heard it was steroids myself, but
okay. Again. GAB 2006. Do I have the right one? Yeah.
Although the commentary for that match was hilarious, hearing JBL say, "He is on fire. He is on the rise. His liver enzymes may not be, but he is."
But yeah, they kicked, let's see.
I miss him on commentary so bad.
There's talk, so don't give up hope. Let's see, looking at the card, Teddy Long had talked to Bobby Lashley, and they'd taken him off the card. Fit Finlay was U.S. champ at the time. We had Helms versus Matt Hardy. Let's see. That Punjabi prison match. Yeah, it was Big Show and The Undertaker. Like I said, it was a fun match. They actually sent Khali out late to have him climb the cage, which was scary in its own right. Let's see. Mickey James, Michelle McCool, back when she was still teacher's pet. Oh, and Jillian Hall.
Yeah,
Batista was still on the card because he got to kill Kennedy.
Okay.
Let's see. And this was the night Booker took the World Heavyweight title off of Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
So, let me put that away. Okay, now we can transition to Raw. with the departure of my client and the unfortunate circumstances that are keeping the evil doc from performing his duties as COO.
I.e. having an arm that went snap, crackle, and pop like a bowl of Rice Krispies.
Right. And just the fact that since he was in such pain that they had to go get his buddy to talk about the whole situation.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at how well you're selling that arm, Mr. Michaels.
Yes, you are. And also selling his hunting show, if you saw the shirts he wore.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, just to pick your brain on this, have you noticed that AJ has a berserk button?
She does have a berserk button. And woe be he who goes off and makes her go crazy at people.
Oh, you see, that's the key
press.
Word.
Press.
Yeah,
oops, David O'Tongue
poke
better.
Poke. Poke.
It's a berserk button, not the schmoz button. You gotta know the difference. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
Props to her for the Strange Bedfellows tag match, though. What?
No, it's David O'Tonga applied directly to the forehead. David O'Tonga applied directly to the forehead.
Yes.
But, yes, Kane and Zack Ryder versus The Miz and Daniel Bryan. That was amusing.
Yes, it was. And I love how they still have her, skipping around all the time backstage.
I just don't know how she does that in dress shoes. That makes my feet hurt just watching her do it.
Maybe she's barefooted and we don't know it.
Well, I just figured if she's going to, I thought she was going to keep the Chuck Taylors and wear those with the suit.
I would.
There was nothing wrong with that. Let's see. We had a wonderful little thing that AJ decided to book. Mr. Ziggles versus Mr. Jericho. If Jericho wins, he reclaims the Money in the Bank briefcase. If Ziggles wins, Chris Jericho is no more. So, Ethan, even though this is from a crazy lady, I am risking my life here. Was this fair?
I don't know about fair. Not in terms of the risk and reward kind of a match. If it was just for the Money in the Bank briefcase, that would have been an unequal footing, and still would have given Ziggler the good win. But you don't do it for it's not contract versus career.
Brian, your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent match. I mean, AJ, Vicky Guerrero made an interesting point. She said that she believes Vicky Guerrero has, quote, gone mad with power. So I have no idea.
Despite this, and we were kind of expecting this as Fozzy's new album Sin and Bones dropped last week. So now Jericho can go tour with Fozzy. But in one last act of Jira trolling, and you can't tell me he didn't do this on purpose. The man of 1,004 holds gets his ass fired on the 1,004th show.
My head hurts. My head hurts.
Mind That's... blown.
That was, if he planned it, and Jericho's a smart enough guy to plan it, then that was beautiful.
That's brilliant. So kudos to Y2J, and I wish him the best of luck on his tour. Come to Minnesota. I will come to your show twice. since I just could not make it to a Fozzy concert, especially the one after the Battle of the Bands in Cleveland. Anyway.
but now, wait. Now, if he's touring with Fozzy, who's going to be with Miss Piggy?
No. Piggy is dating Kermit.
Oh, that is right. That is right.
Besides, and fail.
Oh, come on.
And oh, by the way, on a serious note, one of the great Muppeteers passed away earlier today.
Yes, and I don't. Silly me for not having his name up. I can get that.
Jerry Nelson,
whose most well-known Muppet character was Count Von Count. He was also a huge factor in the original Fraggle Rock.
Yes, sir.
He was. He was the amazing, I'm reading his obituary, he was the amazing Mumford, Sherlock Hemlock, Robin the Frog, Gobo Fraggle, and Dr. Strange Pork on Swine Track.
Nice.
I also heard he played the Trash Heap.
Now that I don't know.
I heard that, I can't confirm it, and I think he played more than just Gobo on Fraggle Rock, because apparently, you know, he was a huge part of that. But God love him, and God's got him.
Yes, and a la peanut butter sandwiches. There you go.
And wow, Sherlock Hemlock. Now I feel old.
Yes.
Let me get back to Raw. I'm going to lodge my own formal complaint that I have seen the absolute worst battle royal ever constructed.
Be fair, it was a Divas match. It was bound to be horrible.
But, I mean, it just... They were... For the first few seconds after the bell rang, they were just standing around like, we're supposed to do something? I admit that it might... Part of the problem might have been that Beth Phoenix wasn't in there to keep everything under control. She was away on a family emergency. So... Which led to
it's
the
like,
head...
And someone's not throwing 50... And someone's not throwing dollar bills. We don't know what to do.
The cellar's not there anymore.
Wow.
That's not right. Might be correct, but that's not right. Like, so
it's true, but you shouldn't say it.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. So we have our number one contender for the Divas Championship, which is Layla, which so far is friendly. But Brian, you think one of them's going to turn?
Yeah, I think Caitlyn's going to turn. They'll do the whole bit where she was siding with Eve all this time. It's because now we can no longer rely on Karma to come in and kick ass and take names. Yeah. I'm just hoping that the plan that they have in place, which is now they've signed Sarah Del Rey to be like the head trainer of the Divas division.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she teaches some of these people some wrestling moves, because if with her behind it, they could have some decent matches.
And it's just a matter of telling the honchos in the back to give them the time they deserve.
Exactly.
So, but I'm sorry, that battle royal just left a really bad taste in my mouth. Don't get me wrong. I like women's wrestling when it's actually wrestling. I don't even know what that was.
That was something that we shouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
That was a cluster.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of things that left a bad taste in my mouth, we all saw Mr. Punk try to separate Mr. Lawler from his head on Raw Monday night.
That was curious, because I'm kind of disappointed that they're slowly leaning Punk towards heel. This is not the time.
I can see why, though. I do think they want to build him as the heel, so it will be Rock Punk at the Rumble for the title.
Mm-hmm.
However, it had one really bad, horribly bad after effect. It meant we had Cole by himself tonight on SmackDown.
Oh,
now, That's not, well, remember, Lawler doesn't work SmackDown.
That's right. Josh Matthews does, and he got killed on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my point remains. Why, oh, why couldn't Punk kick Cole?
That's a very good question. No, wait a minute. I know why. If they want him to be heel, he can't touch Cole.
Yeah, he's got to go after the face commentator, and Lawler was the face by default.
So yeah, because if he starts beating up Cole, there's no way they could turn.
There would be no booing. There would be standing ovations
and demands for more. There would be encores, lots of encores,
lots of author.
Yes, I also think that the turn is the fact that anybody know where Night of Champions is this year?
Chicago.
No, it's in Boston.
Boston.
Ah, yes. Oh, damn it.
So,
that does not bode well. Although, they haven't been using home field advantage in terms of wrestling for, ever.
No, and it's, It's still something to watch out for because Super Cena needs any help. It's not something that, it is something to watch out for. And I don't think he's completely healed yet. He still hasn't done the one dastardly thing that's going to make him so. Whoops.
May I have your attention, please?
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager. On my Apple 3.
Whoa. Okay.
Are you sure it's not just the Apple 2i?
No, it is the short-lived Apple 3.
That one I remember. Let's see. Actually, there's more than one email here.
They're kind of slow on that one, so you may have to wait a little bit.
No, that's fine. This is the first one's really short. Your request for vacation on August the 26th has been approved. Oops, that was for me. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. No, I had to clear it with him. I'm going to Rochester for a house show.
Oh. Excellent.
I unfortunately cannot make the Sioux Falls, South Dakota house show on Saturday. That's a little too far to drive, and I have been asked to work on some legal briefs tomorrow. So let me get to the actual email. Let's see. Here we go. And I quote, "It seems that the 7-year rule is in effect from a most unlikely place. The situation with Santino Marella and his pet Cobra hails back to the days of Al Snow and Head."
Really?
Remember, Al and Head didn't always get along.
Okay.
And the GM says, "Nikki, I know you were demanding that the Cobra strike Santino. How'd you know?" Let's see. "Something that might even turn up as a storyline on Saturday morning Slam, if anything, just to fill time if people aren't allowed to beat each other up." What, and cut into the commercials? So speaking of commercials, we might have to run a few of our own. So gentlemen, the snack bar's open, the restrooms are unlocked. Let's take a short break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes with some more news.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hey, this is Carl Scheer, 1-4 for the team of Game Show Garbage. Next week on CLW3.com, listen to us as we do live rolling commentary, well, live to tape, on American Bible Challenge hosted by Jeff Foxworthy. Oh, God. Rob's making us do it. That's Game Show Garbage's rolling commentary special American Bible Challenge coming next week on the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
If you're not tuned in to CLW83.com, you're missing out on all of this.
Oh, what a catch some guy made for the Angels just now off of this. Number 27, oh, I don't know.
That's Trout!
Yes, Mike Trout.
How
just
dare you!
Can't sorry.
Catch Trout.
And yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
The password is Splooge.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not one.
Nikki! Bleach!
I started this endeavor joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses, and then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
CLW83.com. Log on and tune in.
Hello, this is the game showman Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have Jason Block, Brian Henniger, and our dear Chief High Mucknimuck, Carl Schneer, has decided to join us as Ethan Muslin is otherwise indisposed. Carl, welcome.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, sorry, I am here.
Let's see. Let's start with some very big news. PWI has released the PWI 500. Mm-hmm. And I've actually worked with a couple of people up and down the list, but I have not worked for this year's number one. And that would be the self-proclaimed, self-admitted, and self-respecting best in the world, CM effing Punk.
Amen.
And you know what? He deserves this. Even if it's a kayfabe award, you know, to all the wrestlers when they grew up, always wanted to be the number one on the PWI 500.
Mm-hmm.
They always wanted to be. It may not be as significant now, as it once was. But the fact that CM effing Punk is there makes me as a wrestling fan proud.
Same here.
And I'm gonna throw a list out here. This was compiled by a good buddy of mine, Drake Younger, of some people that I've worked with and some people that you guys might know. People like Sammy Callahan, who is actually up to 52.
That's nice. Not bad.
Wow.
Drake Younger himself, 146.
Nice.
Former ROH talent, BJ Whitmer, 250. Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. John Moxley, 253. Pepper Parks, another guy from the Cincinnati area, 299. Fellow Naptown Dragon, a guy who's worked with Drake Younger, Scotty Vortex, 300. Jake Christ of the Irish Airborne, 361.
No kidding! Nice!
His brother Dave, 373. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And my former client, Fabulous Candy Charles, a.k.a. the American Kickboxer 2, 452.
No! Wow!
All right.
So go ahead.
That's awesome. That's great. That's seriously awesome.
I'm proud to say that I've worked with some of these people, and I'm proud to say that I know some of these people, and I'm very proud that PWI is recognizing them. Yes, it may be a kayfabe award, but you know what? I'd kill to be 500 on that list.
Wasn't there an old ECW wrestler, I think Donnie Allen, who used to say he was number 499?
Or wouldn't he just say himself that he was 501?
I remember someone with a 501 gimmick. I forget who, though.
So I had to get that shout out because it's only fair. I mean, the fact that, yes, Punk is at the top of the list, and the fact that the PWI 500 probably has 40 to 50 spots open to WWE guys and another 20 or so to TNA guys, it's still an honor to see your name on that list.
Indeed.
And I got to ask, Nikki.
Yeah.
Do you ever think CM Punk is just, you know, in the locker room somewhere and sees that and, you know, actually has sort of a bit of a sort of a mark out moment for himself?
Punk strikes me as somebody that's so freaking confident that he expected this. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, I'm hoping this is one time where CM Punk is, where CM Punk actually is impressed.
And I wish I could find an actual, PWI themselves will actually give you a list of where people placed in prior years. So I would love to see Punk's ascension, as it were. And just see where he was on the list and how often he showed up on the list leading up to today.
So but see. So he can legitimately say he is the best in the world, according to PW Insider.
Agreed. And I would actually mark out a little bit if he showed up with the magazine, scrolled it up, and swatted John Cena alongside the head with it.
That'd be awesome. I don't know if they'd ever do it, but
I don't think they would, which is a shame because it's just such a nice video visual. And Statboy finally comes through for me. If anybody wants the pick'ems,
I would.
Sure, why not?
Sure. How did I suck this time, Nikki?
Let's see. How bad did Carl suck? Carl, you did a whole lot better than you think. And Stat Boy, I'm gonna sick Jim on you for writing Jim the Pony Lover on the spreadsheet.
Whoa!
That was really good, Brian. That's the best Jim I've heard in a while. But yes, Jim
is
at the bottom.
Show for little
girls. Jim's unfortunately at the bottom of the pile at 3.
Oops.
Beeman and 4th near the bottom with 5. Ethan at 5.5. I guess he flushed something. Stat Boy and Carl tied for 2nd at 6.
Ooh.
So, Carl, you didn't suck as bad as you thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I abstained. Let's see. I see none of the wild cards played.
I noticed there's one name you didn't mention.
Perhaps I didn't. Actually, there's 2 names I didn't mention. So, yeah, there's going to be some duties shared. As we have co-champions carrying the Fizzleweight title, VRM, and Brian Henniger.
Woo!
Thank you.
So would you like the belt or the cash prize?
I would prefer the belt, please.
Okay. Jason, would you have rather had taken the money?
Oh, I'd take the money. Are you kidding?
Sorry, Brian.
Okay. I do have a tiny speech plan that I didn't think I was going to win. So, only wrote 43 pages. So, give me a second here. As I stand before you today at the crossroads of history, I'm reminded of the words of a... Okay, there's someone with a hook behind me. Woohoo, I won. Thank you, bye.
Yeah, someone is DC Lundberg coming after your ass.
Coming so after yeah, my fat ass.
To this speech.
Ninja, please. Hell no.
Okay, with that out of the way.
This is why I love doing this show.
Let me find what else I was... Since we're talking about CM Punk, he decided he'd do somebody else a huge favor, and that would include NXT. Now, this says that this match occurred after the tapings. I would hope that somebody was still running the cameras as the entire crowd got one hell of a treat. Play, damn it. CM Punk faced the current United States champion Antonio Cesaro. They fought to a no contest when Cassius Ohno interfered and Seth Rollins came out to make the save.
Now to our viewers who are not keen, Cassius Ohno is the former Chris Hero.
Correct.
And Seth Rollins is the former John Moxley.
No. Seth Rollins is the former Tyler Black. I'm going to send Trista on you.
I'm just pissing off people left, right, and center this week, aren't I?
No, it's okay. But
Trista wouldn't hurt anybody. But so to this, I'm sure there was a thunderous Ring of Honor chant as they decided to do CM Punk and Seth Rollins versus Cassius Ohno and Antonio Cesaro.
Kings of Wrestling. Kings of wrestling. I'm sorry. Every time Cesaro hits, boom. Hey!
Kings reign supreme.
Supreme, yes.
So, we of the IWC would pay massive bandwidth for this match. So anybody out there, and that includes our dear friend and honcho from WrestleChat.net, if you can get your hands on this video, I don't care if you just PM it to us or post it for the world to see, because somebody, we've got to see this match. I have got to see this match. Between what they're going to do in the ring and the crowd absolutely losing their minds seeing this match in technically a WWE ring. Which begs the question, Carl, how far do you think we are from having this actually happen on TV? Crickets.
Well, Carl said he'd be right back, so I'll chime in.
Okay.
If it got over with the crowd and if they were cheering sooner than we think, I mean, NXT, they're treating it now as essentially like the AAA of WWE. See, FCW is a thing more or less going to be like your double A.
Right.
So that's like your Southern League. NXT is the International League, you know, or the Grapefruit League.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE is the big league. They're looking to see who's getting over. And if this is getting over, if the fans are digging it, you know, by all means.
The trick right now, I guess, is that they've got to come up with, you know, gimmick and slash story for Rollins and Cassius to get them on TV. And the sooner the better. Admittedly, right now, the attrition of the company is at an all-time low. The fact that there was no spring cleaning this year, AW pretty much showed himself the door. And the only other departure being Tyler Rex, who asked for his release, not because he wasn't having any fun, but he missed his family. And that is 100% understandable.
And I believe it was incredibly mutual. And I believe the door is open as far as I know.
Yeah. I have a feeling he's going to take a couple of years off, raise his kids, hug his wife, and stay in shape. And the door's open for him because they, you know, he is a good worker. They don't know what to do with him.
Do you think the Magic Mike gimmick was getting over?
I don't know. I didn't get to see it. It didn't, you know, the one little bit of dancing that I saw him and Hawkins do was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if Rex hadn't left, I think him and Hawkins would have been in the middle of that Pier 12 brawl that happened backstage at SmackDown over the tag titles. You know, all of a sudden, oh my God, we have a tag team division.
Yeah.
Truth and Kofi, primetime players, the Usos, Primo and Epico, Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, just because.
By the way, speaking of the primetime players, you got something to say about Michael Cole, don't you?
I do. And actually, that's actually something overall that they actually was really cool that they did on SmackDown. Thankfully, we were not subjected to 2 hours of Michael Cole by himself at the announce table. Televisions across the country would have been destroyed.
Yeah.
So during the course of the evening, he was given, you know, selections here and there of guest commentating, which included Teddy Long telling him exactly how much he sucked, Caitlin essentially blowing him off.
Yeah.
The primetime players who, and I will, please excuse me if this offends anybody, showing us just how much of a white poodle Michael Cole really is.
I don't get it.
Is that cold? Okay.
It's sort of. I have a backstory for you guys. When Michael Cole was just trying to be a straight up announcer, this is back when he was still partnered with Taz.
But you know how he got rid of those really khaki blonde highlights.
Right. But he always had short curly hair, and he always had this problem that he just did not know how to control his hype. He went to the same broadcasting school as Tony Schiavone.
Excuse me.
So he earned the nickname from me, Hype Poodle. Because all he did was yap, 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 yap. And sure enough, he brought back yap, 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 trying to do the Titus O'Neil seal bark, which Titus O'Neil was about ready to kick his ass over. That amused me a lot.
Well, you need testosterone for that.
And unfortunately, I don't think that exists in Michael Cole's bloodline. But needless to say, I mean, it was comical watching him trying to do the millions of dollars dance with DeYoung and Titus, but the bark. Oh my goodness. It's no. Big no.
Baby oil.
Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio was pretty much in that department, but Cole.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
I'd say stick to your day job, but you can't do that very well either. But let's see, because he also had Cody Rhodes, where he was picking on him for being obsessed over Sin Cara's mask. Sheamus, who he was healing up on Sheamus for cheating and shenanigans. Hey, Sheamus, bro kick Michael Cole. Anyway. And Del Rio, who throws a shoe? Really?
Ask Danica Patrick.
Real?
Jesus Christ.
What?
Brian,
you
didn't
see that?
You'll have to elaborate.
Danica Patrick was leading a NASCAR race, but she ran over a shoe that had been thrown onto the track, and she lost control of her car, and she got put out of the race.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe it was Kyle Busch's. I don't know.
Jeez.
But needless to say, it just kind of shocked me when we had the backstage segment with Kofi and Truth, then the Primetime Players, then Primo and Epico, then the Usos, then Random Tag Team is Random, Gabriel and Tyson Kidd, and then all hell breaks loose. And I'm like, whoa, where'd this tag team division come from?
Well, I'm reading an article that apparently Triple H has said on more than one occasion that as soon as he gets more power, he wants to start rebuilding the tag team division.
And good on him. I think we're headed in the right direction. So let me throw this at you, Brian. Do we do a tag team scramble at Night of Champions?
I would. I definitely would. I mean, you know, if they're serious about this, if they're serious about rebuilding the tag team division, let's see what some of the teams can do. I mean, heck, you even got to throw together some makeshift teams. I'd go for it.
I was at the Raw that had the ultimate random tag teams is random night. It was the Raw after WrestleMania 23 that they somehow put together, I think it was 20 tag teams, and just had this enormous battle royal that ended with the Hardys getting their final tag team title reign in the Fed. But we had all these guys, with the exception of Gabriel and Kidd, are established. The Usos have been a tag team since day one. Primo and Epico found their way together since Carlito was stupid and left the company. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil had worked so much together on NXT. I guess this was inevitable.
They've really built themselves up. I mean, I'm impressed with them somewhat, you know?
I unfortunately will have forever bias against Titus O'Neil because he went to the University of Florida. Anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
Oh, by the way, Nikki.
Yes.
I was at the mall a few days ago. And they have a store there called Souvenirs of the Game, which is a college sports memorabilia shop.
Okay.
Had something there that I'm tempted to buy you for your next birthday.
Uh-oh.
A Florida State Seminoles necktie.
Hmm. Is it mostly garnet or gold?
It's mostly garnet with gold diamonds and tiny FSU logos all over it.
Hmm. Get it autographed by Bobby Bowden and we'll talk.
I might.
Or does I need a new tie? Let's see.
Bobby Bowden. okay, I'm sorry. Real quick, I have to do this. See, Tim Wilson does this routine. He says, I love Bobby Bowden, not because he's a tremendous winner, but because he is a tremendous loser. You walk up to him, we'll say, Coach, your team sucked out there today. We did. But we got good kids. Our quarterback couldn't get nothing on his stomach, and we had to get him a bottle of K-Pectate that explains that white stuff in his pants during the first half of the ball game. Coach, your team stole half of the shirts out of a Dillard's. They did. But they're good kids, good parents.
the best one, I'm trying to remember the one that the best one I saw was a headline. As you know, Florida State was notorious for losing games by a field goal.
Yes.
Wide right 1, wide right 2. Then we lost 1 wide left. The headline the next day was from Bobby Bowden, and I quote, "It ain't right."
Oh, jeez.
That's good. And you know, I'm thinking of a certain former FSU alumnus who, upon seeing that game, would have just one thing to say.
Alas, I have not the sound bite, so allow me. Damn!
You got one now.
Ah! I do? Let me look.
Damn!
That's all right. So, let's see. Okay, Carl, we've been marveling at the tag team division that has suddenly appeared on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me pick your brain real quick. Tag team scramble at Night of Champions?
Sure, why not? You gotta put filler in somehow.
Given that, technically, if Night of Champions actually sticks to its gimmick, 2 A belts, 2 B belts, the tag titles, and the Divas title. Yeah, 6 matches. You need something to stretch.
Yep.
Because you could do it as a scramble, or you could do it as... Do we have 6 teams?
you counted 6, well, I believe.
Let's see. We have the Colognes.
Mm-hmm.
We have Primetime Players.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Little Jimmy. We have the Little Jimmy Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not right, but go ahead.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of 3 more that we could kind of shoot.
Usos.
Usos.
The Usos. I forgot about the Usos.
A lot of people do.
We could throw together 2 more teams.
Well, they Gabriel and Kid were in that mess, so. And yeah, one random tag, another random tag team is random, and we have a 6-pack challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would almost want to see the scramble because they haven't done a scramble rules match in a while. Which scramble rules matches are great on TV. They suck in person. just my personal opinion. But so far our card is reading. So the card so far for Night of Champions is Cena Punk, no matter how much Punk denies it. Sheamus Del Rio again. Potentially Santino getting a rematch against Cesaro.
If he can keep that damn Cobra under control.
I'm waiting for the Cobra to attack Santino. I almost expected it tonight. The two of them arguing and all of a sudden, zap.
Again, this proves what I've been saying for years. Santino Marella is a comic gold mine. And I'm sorry, Jim Cornette, you would be dumb not to let him use what he's got.
Bingo. And that's what's kept him in the company for so long, because he's got amazing comedic timing and just has a great feel for what's funny.
I have to say, I am a lesbiano.
My favorite is still him riding on Beth Phoenix's shoulders after SummerSlam 08. We fully expected him to have the women's title and she take whichever B belt he had at the time. I think he was the Intercontinental Champion at the time.
He was, yes. He was doing the Honka meter.
Yeah. So I was waiting for him to walk out with the women's title and Beth with the Intercontinental title, because that was the only thing that was missing from that match. Or at a house show, he dedicated a match to Beth Phoenix, loses in 30 seconds to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, tries to apologize to Beth, who scoops him up, puts him in a dip, gives him the most passionate kiss ever, slings him over her shoulder like a caveman, and walks out. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. So let's see. CM Punk, Sheamus Del Rio, Santino Cesaro.
The Miz has to find somebody.
The Miz is going to need a new opponent because I don't think they're going to have Ray go up against him again. I can't think of anybody right off the top of my head.
Maybe Zack Ryder.
That'd be nice.
We'll get Rhodes versus Sin Cara?
No, because it's not a champions match.
There's no title involved. I mean, they might do it as a bonus match, but I'm trying to keep to the formula. Six-pack challenge or the scramble, tag team scramble, and then Caitlin Layla. That's not a bad card. Brian, would you spend money on that card?
Might. You know, that's a pretty good list of what it is. I mean, yeah, Cena and Punk sort of, you know, doesn't have the luster it had a year ago. But, I mean, we know they can go. We know that when Cena has a good opponent and they let him loose a little bit, he can go. We know this.
Yeah, despite the you can't wrestle chance that Punk had to confirm they were talking about Cena.
What, me? No, him. Oh, yeah, okay, him.
So, Jason, money or bandwidth for this one?
I don't know. I mean, again, it's... Again, there's not enough... I mean, there's potential, a lot of potential here. Let me see how the card plays out. I mean, Punk Cena would be very interesting the way the new dynamic is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm very interested to see how they're going to lead Punk into his DVD release in October.
Which is another one of my concerns about making him heel right now. So, Carl, money, bandwidth, sports bar?
Holy.
Oh, jeez.
You mean, no, Nikki, you mean blast area trademark.
Or whoever happens to be showing it, because every time I've looked up the blast area, it's always wrong.
Boo!
So, let's see. I think I'm about newsed out. Anybody got anything else that I did not cover?
I do, actually.
Go ahead.
We have to actually talk about that other Fed.
Ooh. Yes, I do, and I should, out of complete respect of Elijah Burke, a.k.a. Pope D'Angelo De Niro. Poor guy's got a broken clavicle, had the Twitter picture to prove it. It hurts to look at.
Yeah, ow.
Looking at that x-ray.
Oh, why did you mention that? My shoulder hurts.
That's what I mean. I've got a tingle tingling in my hand just thinking about it. He is out of the BFG series, which apparently opened the door wide for Robbie E. What?
Jeez.
Are you serious, bro?
Well, I mean, if some people liked it, because Impact's audience is the highest since they went live.
Well, also the word that they were kicking what's-her-name to the curb probably helped, and that will help in coming weeks. Yeah, Claire Lynch out the door because the fans said, this is stupid.
And harassed her on her Facebook and IMDb page.
Which is wrong. You should not do that.
No, that was not cool.
No.
Hey, Nikki, you have a term for a kind of move that would represent, don't you, Nikki?
I don't have a soundbite for it, although I'm sure Carl can help us out. Oh, dick move! I want the original from the Monarch on Venture Brothers, though.
Make a memo of it.
Jim, are you listening? Get that for me.
Are you listening, anyway. Biatch? Yeah.
Seriously. That's another soundbite. Anyway, So, but yeah, apparently the product is such that more people are watching the show. The numbers that were supplied to me were just in millions, so I haven't seen the actual Nielsen numbers. So I can't make the joke that, yes, they have more viewers than ever, but it's still 1.01. Crickets.
Still, baby steps.
Yes. They're getting there. They've almost twisted my arm to watch.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it now. Jeff Hardy looks better than he's looked in years.
Well, maybe he has finally gotten his shit together.
Everyone in I've read our wonderful benevolent sponsor, Brett Clendaniel's wonderful website, WrestleChat.net, which you should all be going to every day out there. You should all be seeing that repeatedly. We're talking like multiple visits a day. He has been saying that Jeff has been a model employee behind the scenes. He has really turned his life around.
I believe that will, I think it's a kid. He has a kid, doesn't he now?
Yes, he does.
You know, so why not? I mean, maybe he has truly straightened his life around, and if he's clean, more power to him.
Mm-hmm. And to that, I would say I'm proud of him. That puts him at least three steps ahead of his brother. Ooh, well, I did miss something. Speaking of the other league, remember that little deal that TNA and WWE worked out earlier this year so that Ric Flair could do Hall of Fame for the Four Horsemen induction?
Yeah.
Yes.
Despite the lawsuit and finger pointing over that one idiot, TNA is still benefiting from said deal, as Christian is going to be taking a break soon to go down to TNA for Bound for Glory to induct Sting into the TNA Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool. Okay. That works.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm guessing this is because they've soured a little bit on Ric Flair. Nah. And I know they couldn't get Dusty Rhodes.
And you and I know Jim Cornette won't go within 100 miles of that plate.
No, not without heavy explosives handy. And I would pay to watch this Mythbusters moment.
Oh,
well, Jimmy wants big boom.
Exactly.
What a class it up, Brian.
When in doubt, C4.
Or class it down.
Good life advice, really.
No, what I was about to say. Ah, there's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
You see, there's your problem.
Oh. Yes, Miss Butler's meets TNA. Yes, that would.
X Division went away.
But
go away.
But no, I mean, you know, seriously, if you remember correctly, I think Christian's going to do his thing. He'll make his speech and leave. There will be no angle, no wrestling, no nothing. That's it.
Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, it just made me a little nervous because right now Christian's just kind of drifting.
Mm. Meanwhile, you know, I have a point for Jason.
Yes?
I don't know what's more painful to look at, the clavicle injury for Pope or the guy in the NFL who had the broken leg, Mark Marinati? Yow.
He twisted his... They showed a picture?
They showed it on TV.
Oh, I didn't see it. Okay.
Is this a recent one? You're making me think of Theismann.
No, but this one's just as bad.
I saw that live.
Me too.
Are we drifting into Sid Vicious territory?
Yeah.
We're talking an ankle break through the skin.
Mm-hmm. There was a Cleveland player that had that happen to him at a Broncos game, and I cannot remember his name. He leapt over the pile, and you just see his foot flopping like it wasn't even connected.
Which happened last night, by the way, as we record this.
Yeah.
Let me just take a look at this.
All people calling the damn game, it was Chris Berman.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Yowza. Ow. Well, there's actually one other thing that we'll actually also cover on Pixel Nation.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is video game related, and yes, cross promotion is most welcome.
Yes, so it Jason, is. Go ahead.
Jason, Brian,
hint,
please.
Hint, Nikki. Hint, hint.
The ponies will appreciate it. Wait a minute.
Well, first of all, SummerSlam, and we went over this. They announced their roster at SummerSlam for WWE 13, and we did a count. I think there was something like 85.
It was some ridiculous number, although there is some repetition because they use different era versions of several performers.
Yes. They have John Cena from the current John Cena and the 04 John Cena. They have Mark Henry from the Nation of Domination and World's Strongest Man. They have JBL and Bradshaw. They have Big Show and Paul White. They have three Triple H's, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They have the original Blue Blood. They have the McMahon-Helmsley 99-2000 version and current.
And they have,
go ahead.
Yeah, they also have two Chris Jerichos.
Current two and, yeah.
Two Edges.
Mm-hmm.
Two Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Two Undertakers.
Three, I thought.
Oh, yeah, three.
And all the faces of Foley.
Except Foley himself.
Two Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Two Rocks. I'm just trying to think.
Two Litas.
There's a Big Boss Man, Brock Lesnar, Mike Tyson. There's a bunch of people. 7, 14, 21, 28, 35. Hold on. 35, 42, 49, 56. By the way, Karma's in there. Oh, two Canes, too. 63, mm-hmm. 70, 77, 84. 87 different superstars for their WWE roster. And they also announced this week the Attitude Era story modes,
yes.
Which there are going to be six of them. Through 65 matches, you will get to play different versions of different stories. For example, The Rise of DX, The Brothers of Destruction, The Great One, of course being The Rock, Mankind, Austin 316, and WrestleMania 65.
WrestleMania 15.
Yeah, sorry, X5, yeah. And I believe Ross and Lawler will be calling those particular matches.
Glorioski.
Mm-hmm. And the game comes out, I believe, October 30th.
And the Revolution ads with CM Punk are amazing.
Yeah.
That looked like a pay-per-view promo.
Mm. Do I have your attention now? Yes.
All that was missing was the megaphone with the microphone.
Sir, I'm afraid your music is just too loud.
In case they cut off my microphone, I brought backup.
But, yeah, so, I mean, but this is getting a huge, huge push because THQ needs all the positive help they can get.
And reason number three why we can't turn Punk right now.
Yeah. He's the cover boy, and we covered this on an earlier show. The pre-orders with Punk on the cover are through the roof. It has been up on all formats, Xbox 360, PS3, and the Wii. Brian, the numbers have been like mad.
Yes, they have.
So, once this comes out, which is also going to come out right around the time, I think, of the DVD, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a big week for CM Punk and WWE. So.
All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think we're clean.
Okay.
Did you go shower? Oh, sorry.
Just for that, Carl, you got anything to plug?
Everything on CLW83.com. Listen to it, or we will find all of you and hit you with ponies.
And folding chairs.
Yes.
No, we would just leave a pony on your doorstep.
You're going to love it!
Brian, do you have anything to plug or hype?
Not particularly. Listen to Pixel Nation this weekend. We're going to be filming it Saturday due to my new means of gainful employment. And give you a slight preview in case you're thinking about something. We have a story about Nintendo may finally be getting their collective crap together.
Not possible.
Yeah.
Jason.
I want to plug something that I wasn't involved with last week, but I hopefully will be next week. WLTI Live debuted last week to much success on the network, Carl, and it's only going to get better. And I got to say, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, and it's so good. It doubled 10 times the hits the first time.
Yeah. Which is just,
I've really got to up my game.
But, of course, all the shows, Red State, Blue State, Touch 'Em All, BS Big Show. And, I first of all, I just also have to, you know, thank all the people who I met and hung out with in Atlanta at my Sweeps convention. Next year, I am going to Salt Lake City, and I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. It was absolutely terrific. So, and profitable. So,
there you go. I actually have something to plug besides my own show.
Yes?
During my short vacation in Indianapolis, I ran into two gentlemen who are combining gaming with wrestling and are doing a much better job of it than the failed Know Your Role game. I speak specifically of Spartacus Publishing. And the main gentlemen who write for it, Gabe Ivan and Casey Clark, for their series called Luchador Way of the Mask. This is essentially a role-playing game based on luchador movies.
Nice.
They've recently released expansions to include Puresu, Canadian Wrestling, and American style, titled Bright Lights and Barbed Wire. So, to these gentlemen, I am giving them some free publicity, as I was more than happy to promote their product at the convention. My picture can be seen at SpartacusPublishing.com. Take a look at their work. This isn't the only series they work on, but this was the one that has caught my interest the most. I want to thank them for the discount I got on the books and for the authentic Luchador Way of the Mask Mother Mercy t-shirt. So, with that out of the way, gentlemen, it's been real, it's been fun, it's actually been real fun. So we're going to call it a night because I know the Chief High Muckety Muck wants to get some sleep. So whenever you hear
Jason.
Us...
Yes,
whenever
sir.
You hear us, listen, enjoy, listen again, as we are, the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, for Jason Block, for Brian Henniger, for the missing Ethan Muslin, dang it, and for the high muckety-muck, Carl Chenier. Have a good day.
Might as well call him Ethan from Ponyville.
Funny.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.